pray for me today. Feel like I'm trying to preach from brokenness today. You preachers that were there this week, you know what I'm talking about. But I need the Lord's help, so you pray for me. If you want to follow along, we're going to begin reading in Job, familiar passage in the 14th chapter. Job chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. And as Brother Jeff made mention, if you're here today and you're lost, you need to listen. If you're here today and you're saved and you're next to somebody that's lost, don't distract them. They need to hear what the Word of God has to say for us today. Job chapter 14 and verse 1 says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down, and he fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. And where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands." I was reading Job, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 15 for our reading lesson today. And the thought that's on our heart today is, what's next? What's next? You see, it's very clear to me today, and should be to you, that we're all going to die. We're all living, but as soon as we're here, we're all going to die. But inside of you is a living soul. And that soul is going to continue to live on. Your body will go back to the dust of the earth. That's where it was formed from. We all came from Adam. But your soul will go back to God. And I believe I can prove that according to the Scripture. In Ecclesiastes, it tells us in the 12th chapter, then in the 7th verse, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit," which is the inner part, "the soul of man, shall return unto God who gave it." You see, that's what's going to happen next. You're living now. We're all living here, breathing, moving, talking, walking. We're all alive. But what happens after this is our bodies die. But what happens to the soul? What happens to the soul after this? You see, Job, he said, I just wish God would hide me in the grave. He was struggling in this life. He had many difficulties that we can't even fathom what he was going through. And he just said, "Lord, I just wish you'd hide me in the grave, that I might rest a little while in you, because I know that if a man dies," he asked a question. He said, "If a man dies, will he live again?" He said, "I'll answer that question. I'll wait. All the days of my appointed time, I'll wait, and then God will call, and I'll answer." Dead people don't answer, do they? But alive people answer, and I believe that Job knew that there is a set time upon the earth. He even said that. He said that there is a determined time for man to live here. The Apostle Paul said it. On Mars Hill, he said that God has determined the bounds of our habitation. And what that means is he's not talking about where specifically you're going to live in what house and what state or what country. What he's talking about, the bounds of our habitation, is your body, your life has a set bounds and you cannot pass from that. God has a set time for you, and when your time is up, that is it for your life. There's no going past it. People have tried to find the fountain of youth. They've been trying to outlive the time of their life since the beginning of time. Even Methuselah, the oldest man in the earth, he was 969 years old, I believe, but he died. He did. Everybody here is going to die. But what's next? What happens next after this life is over? I told you, according to the wise man Solomon, he said that the dust returns back to the earth from whence it came from. But the spirit returns back to God who gave it. So if our souls go back to God who gave it, what does God do with our souls after we die? What happens to our souls after we die? Well, I want to give you an account that Jesus gave us of what happens, I believe, with the souls of individuals after they die. It's found in another familiar scripture in Luke, the 16th chapter. And you all know where we're turning today, but I want you to think with me, what happens next for me? What happens next for me? I can tell you what happens next for me. When this spirit returns to God who gave it, I know where I'll be. I'll be in the presence of God. I'll be with my Maker. I know without a shadow of a doubt, and it's nothing that I've done. It's all what Jesus did and me trusting in what He did. But you today, I want to ask you a question. What's next for me? What's next? Says there was a certain rich man in the 19th verse of the 17th chapter of Luke, which was clothed in purple. Many people will say this is a parable. It may have very well been a parable, but Jesus used parables and things to teach us about true things that are real. And I believe that heaven and hell is just as real as I'm standing in front of you today. I believe that. He said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He was here. He was living just like you are today. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. Again, another individual here living on this side of eternity and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. What happened to these two men? They both died. Just like everybody here is going to die. That's just the facts of what it is. You can't change that. You can't deny that. You can't twist in your mind anything. You are going to die. They both died. But it says this about the rich man. And I want you to know something real clear today. This man was not in hell because he was rich. He was in hell because he didn't believe in the only begotten Son of God. And I better correct that. He's in hell because he didn't believe the only begotten Son of God. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, if you look up hell here, it actually means the grave or Sheol or the unseen state. And you say, well, that's not talking about a burning literal hell. Well, let's see what Jesus describes it as. And I believe everybody goes to the grave. Yes, they all go to the grave. But that soul, not body, the soul lives on in either heaven or hell. I want you to think about what's next. He said, and in hell, who was in hell? Was his body there? I don't believe it was his body yet. I believe it was his soul in hell. And I can prove that in just a moment of time if you'll listen. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in thy lifetime receivedst good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. The reason that Lazarus is in heaven is not because he was a poor beggar here. The reason he's in heaven is because he believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God in Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to get there. The Apostle Peter said, given among men, there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's the only way. Listen, he said he was tormented, the rich man was, but Lazarus was comforted. I want you to know today, your soul will either be in heaven or it'll be in hell. There is no purgatory. There is no in-between place. It's either heaven or it's hell. He said, but Abraham said, Son, rememberest thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from this. There's a great divide there, a great gulf between heaven and hell. There's no a bridge between. There's no way to get across. It is fixed and it is set. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. The rich man said, if I can't get out, I want you to send him to my daddy's house. For I have five brethren that he testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. They had the Old Testament scriptures. They had the word of God. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So what happened next? What happened next was when they died, the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, being tormented in the flames of hell, and Lazarus was comforted in Abraham's bosom. Sounds like two totally different places to me. Two totally different places. There's people in the world to say, well, everybody just gathered and collected in this one big spot, and that's just the waiting period for just a while. I believe that there's two distinct places. I believe in a heaven and a hell, and that's where your soul is at after you leave the walks of this life. I believe that. You say, well, that's just it. No, it's not it. What's next? Well, if you continue to reject the Son of God on this side of eternity and find yourself in hell, you'll be there for a while. Your soul will be there, burning and being tormented and being troubled and dealing with the pains of hell. But there's coming a day when time shall be no more. There's coming a day when time shall be no more. There's people there, I believe, in the portals of glory, according to the revelation of John, that tells us that they cry out to the Lord and say, how long wilt thou not avenge us of our blood that we've shed for thee? And he said, it won't be long until thy brethren be joined to thee and be killed like you were. I believe we're coming to that day and age, but it won't be long until God says time shall be no more. And you know what's going to happen next? That's going to be the end of this world. The end of this world. The Bible teaches us what's going to take place in Hebrews. The ninth chapter, it tells us in the 27th verse, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. What is going to take place here before you know it, and I believe with all my heart it's sooner than it's ever been, is that this world will be destroyed. Jesus, as he ascended back up into the clouds, into heaven, to sit on the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and me. There was two men standing there in white apparel that said, this same Jesus that went away is so coming again in like manner, and he's going to receive his children to be with him. But he's also going to destroy this world. He's going to destroy it. 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter tells us, it says here, but the day of the Lord will come. I believe that's a promise from God, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There's coming a day where God's going to send forth his son. The angel is going to blow the trump of God, and time shall be no more. And he's going to descend with the voice of the archangel with a great shout, and all the world shall behold him. And he's going to come down on that cloud of glory. And you know what's going to happen? We that are alive and remain, we won't prevent them that are asleep. And who am I talking about that's asleep? I'm talking about those like old Job was. I believe he's there sleeping in the grave. But we won't prevent them. They're going to rise from those graves, and we're going to witness it. Because it says they're going to rise first. But there's coming a day where time shall be no more, and it'll be the resurrection day. I believe that with all my heart. It's coming sooner than later. John chapter 5 tells us, he said in the 28th verse, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You say, well, I've already, if I keep rejecting and you say I'm in hell, I'm already in hell. What good does that do for me? The Bible says there'll be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. So what does that mean? That means those that have been saved, you see, those souls that are in heaven, that are with the Lord, there's going to be a resurrected body come out of that grave. And boy, it ain't going to be this old body. It's going to be a body likened unto Christ, the Son of God. And it's going to rise up out of that grave. And it's going to meet that soul. And I'm going to be complete forevermore. That's how it's going to be, I believe. And you see, what does that have to do with me? I've been burning in hell for however long I've been there. You're going to rise too. People don't like to talk about that resurrection, but it'll happen. Those people, those souls that have been in hell, I believe just like those souls coming back with the Lord, those souls are going to come up from hell, and they're going to meet a new resurrected body of those that have been in the grave. And it won't be a glorified body like our Lord, but it'll be a body that's fit for hell is what it'll be. That ain't pleasant, but boy, it's the truth. Hell come out of that grave. And you think, well, I'd get a break. I think you'd just soon wish you'd stayed there. You say, something could be worse than that. Oh, me. Oh, me. When God starts opening up those vials of his wrath, and he starts pouring them out on this whole world of those that rejected the Son of God. Jesus, he came as a lamb the first time, but he's coming back as a lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming back as a thief in the night. And you that are here, you're going to experience the wrath of God poured out on this world. Amen. You know what he's going to do? Sodom and Gomorrah, you remember that? Those cities, they kept resisting, kept rejecting,
kept turning further and further into sin. One of these days he's going to do the same thing, not just to one or two cities. He's going to send fire and brimstone down and destroy the whole world. Every bit of it. This building, everything that's here that you see will be gone down to the elements. It'll be gone. Be gone. You know what? You might say, well, surely that's it. It ain't it. It ain't it. He's going to destroy this world. But then you know what? What did Hebrew writer tell us? He said, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I believe there's coming a judgment day that every person that's ever been and ever will be will come and stand before a holy and just God. Right, you say, it got worse, it gets worse than God destroying this world. It does. When you stand before a holy God that made you, that showed you what hell was, then I believe it's going to be different now. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. I believe it's going to be designed for those new living individuals, those souls and bodies that have been reunited. I believe hell is going to be, I don't like to think about it, but it's going to be designed where they can experience the torments and pains of resisting and rejecting the holy Son of God forever and ever. Right. It's horrible. But you'll come to the judgment. These things, what happens next? You come to the judgment and you stand before a holy and just God. Verse 10 of the 20th chapter of Revelation says, and the devil that was deceived them was cast out into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Thank you, Lord. We'll be done with him for good and all. Done with him. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. You say, I thought we were already dead. Those souls had been delivered. The resurrection had taken place. And they had been united with those souls. And they stand before a holy and just God. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This heaven, this earth, this right here is gone. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. I want you to listen here, right here, is how I believe I can prove that those souls are delivered back. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. It's pretty plain, isn't it? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And who else? I want you to think with me. Are you that soul that's going to live on in heaven? Or are you going to live on in hell? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Who was in that lake of fire? Satan was in that lake of fire. The unbelievers were in that lake of fire. Listen. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. They were gone. This earth will be gone. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is a tough message for those that are lost, but it gets good for those that are saved. It gets good. You see, we look forward to what's next. Job, even though his life was horrible, and he said, I know that I just want to hide in the grave. He said, this thing I know. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that on the latter day, he shall stand upon the earth. I don't think it was this earth either. I think it was the new heaven and the new earth is what I believe he is talking about. You study that out. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You say, well, if there's not that in heaven, surely there wouldn't be that in hell. I believe it's the exact opposite. It's all death. It's even called the second death. You say there'll be no more tears in heaven. There won't be able to be tears in hell because it's just continually burning. A rich man couldn't even get a drop of water. Listen, all these things, there's no more death, no sorrow. All hell is sorrow. And crying and weeping and gnashing of teeth is what Jesus said would be there. And in heaven, no more pain. In hell, there's just pain. For the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the water, of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Father, for adopting me into your royal family that I was undeserving of. But because I believed in Jesus, I've been adopted into the family of God, and you can too today. But those that don't, but the fearful, maybe you're too afraid to seek God today. The fearful and unbelieving, maybe you just haven't believed in the saving of your soul. And the abominable, those sinful people that just destroy this world and hate children, hate people, and they hurt people. I believe there's special places in hell for those people that have rejected God and just love sin and eat it up. There's places in hell, the abominable murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. What's brimstone? Drive through Sulphur Fork over here on 52 for a little while, and that'll give you a little smell of a little tossed start of what it is. It's a smell of sulfur, rotten eggs is what that brimstone is. That's what you're going to smell in hell, which is the second death. What's next for you today? You are going to die. What's next? Will your soul lift your eyes up in hell? Or will your soul be comforted like Lazarus was? When Jesus comes back, will you be like the kings of the earth and those that rejected God and cry out for the rocks and mountains to fall on you to hide you from the face of him that sits on the throne? Or will you say, Come, Lord Jesus! Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, I can just picture it that day. Even mamas and daddies and has lost children, they're not going to look at you anymore. There's only one face we can look at, and that's the face of our Savior. We care about you now, but I can tell you, when he comes in those clouds of glory, my eyes will be on him. I love you now. I want you to be saved. I want you to know. But I'm telling you, when he calls my name, I'm out of here. I'm going to be with him. And when I stand in judgment, a guilty sinner with knowing that I don't deserve salvation. All I can do when I come up to the Father and He says, "You're guilty of your sin," I'll say, "I know. But Jesus is in my soul because I believe that He took my sins." And God the Father will say, "My son is good enough for me. You're not good enough, but my son is. Enter ye in." This thought came to me last night when the saints go marching in. And I thought, where's it going to go, Lord? It went a whole lot different direction, I thought. But I'm glad I'm going home one of these days after a while. I don't know what's next for you. You need to ask the Lord, what's next? Let's have a song. If you're here and lost, it's in your ball. It's in your court now. It's in your hands. What happens next is really between you and God. We can pray, we can sing, we can testify, but at the end of the day, you're the one that's going to stand at judgment. You won't be with mom and daddy. It'll be you. It'll be you. Well, you have Jesus to stand with you. Go ahead, brother.